All right, good morning. Super excited to see everyone here today. So thankful that you guys have made time to gather with us this morning to glorify God, to grow in our understanding of who He is, and to be the church and come together as like-minded believers. If you've got your bulletins, let's crack those open. Let's take a look at a couple things I want to point out to you. I sold them short. I forgot to put their picture up. It made the slides. Steve, we'll go ahead and put that up since we were looking at that. I did sell the winner of our scramble short. There they are. It's a lot of Will Hoyts and one David there. The winners of the DBC Open Scramble. So, yeah, you guys can clap for them if you want to. Yeah. Some people thought there was a fix in. I do not share that opinion, but they're just better than everybody else. We'll just leave it at that. October 26th, you guys have been marking your calendars for at least a month and a half now for this. This is going to be our church retreat event starting at 6 p.m. Right, we've got the sign-up sheet out there in the Hallelujah hallway. You guys have picked your spots. You're going to bring your candy. And then you're also going to invite your neighbors and your friends and everyone else to come and to grow. We're going to have the gospel presentation like we always do. We're going to have a lot of time to hang out and have fun. And we're going to get your kids as hyped up on sugar as we can. And then you can take them back home with you and do whatever you want to do with them. Right? That's the goal for that night, to glorify God and to hand out a bunch of candy. So be here the 26th. We're doing that. Also, November 2nd will be our Owen County Baptist Association meeting, so we will not have evening services that night. So if you show up here the 2nd on Sunday night, you're going to be here by yourself, right? Also, you'll see some updates here on our shoebox ministry as we're continuing to work towards that. Your shoeboxes are to be returned by November 9th. Right? And so mark that in your head when that is. And you can see there's this little wagon right out there in the sanctuary, in the little room right out there outside the sanctuary for you to stack them on if you want to. And I guess our shoebox ladies will just wheel them on out and they wheel it back in, however they do it. You'll also see there's some papers there for the kids to fill out, and they can put pictures and put notes. And then the recipients of those shoeboxes will then open those and kind of see who sent them for them. All right? To also kind of help us stay in the mindset of that, we've got another video to kind of show us the shoebox ministry and what it looks like.
My name is Maritza. I am from El Salvador, which is the smallest country in Central America, but to me it's the most beautiful one. El Salvador has humble, kind, and very hardworking people. I grew up with a single mother who was a hardworking woman and did her best support me. Sometimes she had to leave me with my grandparents and my aunts to be able to go to work. Because of the distance of where she worked, I only see her once a month. I was her only child. I didn't have any siblings. I often felt lonely. I struggled so much when I was a little kid in kindergarten. I didn't finish kindergarten because I was so sick with bronchitis and I missed a lot of days from the school. I didn't like to go to the school, but there was a very special place where I loved to go. And that special place was church. Close to my grandparents' house, there was a small, tiny church. I remember they were giving Sunday school classes, so I asked for permission to go. Sunday mornings, I ran to the class to hear what the pastor was going to teach. And I enjoy learning more and more about God. At the end of the 3 months of Sunday school classes, we were told that we were going to have a celebration and maybe we were going to have a gift. When we walked into church, there were big cardboard boxes, and inside were these beautiful red and green boxes. We start being called one by one, name by name. When I walked to the front and I received my shoebox, I was very curious to know what was inside the shoebox. When I opened the shoebox, I remember this fresh, clean and sweet smell of the shoebox. There were so many things, not just one item, but so many items that were for me. There was two favorite items, Slinky and a journal. That journal was so special to me because I didn't have anything similar to that. I didn't even want to use it at all. That shoebox brought me joy, gladness, and reassurance of God's love, that even though my mom was not able to be there with me all the time, and my dad was not there, God was always there with me, taking good care of me, and He was always present and always going to be present. What's beautiful. I want to thank you all for packing shoeboxes and bringing hope to children around the world. May the Almighty God bless each of you.
All right, so this is the ministry that we get to partner with. And remember, the secondary thing of these shoeboxes is that these children receive a gift. Some of them may have never received a gift before, right? The most important thing that comes with every shoebox is the gospel presentation. So they hear about Jesus Christ, they hear about His saving grace, and those shoeboxes help let them know that somewhere in the world people care about them just like God cares about them. And so I continue to ask you guys to pray over these shoeboxes, continue to pack them, continue to think about how you just serve along in this ministry, and hey, to get them back November 9th. If they don't, Peggy, are you coming to their house to get them? No, she laughed at that. Okay, so you won't get beat up if you don't get them in, but lock that in, November 9th. Let's try to get those in. I've got some thank you cards to read to you guys. My amazing church family, and there's a heart. I don't know what I'm supposed to say, but there's a heart there. Words truly can't express how grateful my family and I are for each and every one of you. Over this past month, as I've been in and out of the hospital, your prayers, love, and kindness have lifted us up in ways I can't even begin to describe. God always has a perfect plan, even in our hardest seasons. Through this time of trial, He has reminded me of the incredible blessing of having a church family that truly lives out His love. You have been His hands and feet, encouraging us, praying for us, and reminding us that we're never alone in our walk of faith. These past few months have been some of the toughest of my life, but your kindness and support have turned moments of fear into reminders of hope. We can't wait to be back in church, worshiping alongside you, and seeing everyone's smiling faces. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts, the King family. So thank you guys for serving them. And then we have another one. People's handwriting is so much better than mine. We would like to extend our deepest gratitude to our church family for all the love, gifts, meals, and most importantly, prayers for our family as we welcome our sweet girl into the world. We truly felt surrounded by God's love through each of you. Thank you for celebrating this joyful season with us, for being such a wonderful church family. We are blessed. Love, Stephen, Ashley, and Benny Badar. So thank you guys for serving that family as well as we are continuing to add and have these new babies. How blessed we are. We've got one other thing to do before we get to a super important thing is we've got some birthdays that we want to celebrate. Our first one is Mason's birthday. Very good. Our second one is Terry's birthday. And Steve, I just want to stay on that for a second, Steve. I just don't know how blessed we are as a church is because I was giving Terry a hard time that I was like, hey, don't expect any cake, it's your birthday. And two cakes showed up at his birthday. Creature made one, Melissa got one, so hey, a lot of cake at the party, very good, right? And then last but not least, Weston's birthday. Yeah. Very excited for that. And that being said, we're gonna transition to something even more exciting is we have a baptism today. Maybe if they open the curtain, we'll see. If they open the curtain, there it is. Very good. You guys can clap if you want to. It's okay. Yeah. Clap. We come here today to experience something that that's already happened inside Hayden's heart, and that she's going to come forward and submit to baptism, right? She's very blessed. Her dad is going to baptize her. I'm going to do the talking because when we were together, and I mentioned this to Nathan, I thought he was going to pass out in the room. And I was like, hey, was like, it's okay. He's a little nervous, but I promise you we're going to get through this. So I'm going to ask Hayden a couple questions, and I'm going to tell you out what she says. You may not be able to hear. So Hayden, are you moving forward from this day forward, planning to live your life in submission to Jesus Christ? She says, yes, that's good. That's the right answer. Do you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your body, and with all your soul? Yes, she does. And do you understand that you are a sinner in need of a Savior? Yes. All right. We've already had these questions. She answered them perfectly. You know, one of the things we do with a young person is we sit with their mom and dad, right? And we ask them, and we're like, man, do you see a change? And both mom and dad said, we have noticed a massive change in her life once she's come to know the Lord. And that's the greatest sign, right? As we receive a new heart, right, focused on the Lord, we change and become different people. Something that I also want to acknowledge here, as you have a whole section of just your family there, I see them all, they got the cameras up, they're looking at you, right? Because we want to acknowledge, and now they're waving at you, even better, right? We want to acknowledge that a lot of this, you know, is because that we have godly grandparents, right? We have godly aunts and uncles and cousins. We have godly moms and dads who bring you to church and speak truth in your life. But the most important thing that happened here is the Lord showed himself to you in his beauty, and you responded to him. And that's a wonderful thing. And so what we're going to do right now is your dad's going to baptize you. So you guys can go ahead and get in position. Other direction? That way? Yes. There we go. Move her forward. There you go. I don't want to hit her head. There we go. All right, Hayden. You ready? All right, your dad is going to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, buried in death, raised again in the newness of life. Absolutely. Praise God. Yes. I'm telling you, I don't know if it gets much better than that. All right, that's great. So I'm going to pray for us now, and then Lucy's going to get us rolling in our worship. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for just the multitude of blessings that you show to us. Oh, Lord, I know we're all focused on right now this wonderful baptism for this wonderful young lady, for her family. Lord, we thank you for revealing yourself to her, for placing the call upon her heart. Lord, we thank you that she responded to that call. We thank you for her family that has taught her and guided her and disciplined her and taught her the ways of Scripture, Lord. Lord, we all know that we are a product of our family, and so, Lord, we thank you for that. But most importantly, we know that we are seen as new in Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing for Hayden and for this family. Lord, we just pray that now that we understand as a church that we continue to have a responsibility for Hayden, we continue to have a responsibility for discipleship, of teaching her and guiding her and correcting her when we see behavior that is not honoring to God, that we have a responsibility as her church family. And so, Lord, I pray that everyone here takes that serious and everyone understands that we have been called to that. And, Lord, I just pray that as Hayden begins to walk this path of sanctification, that you continue to grow her and model her more into the image of your Son and less into the world. And, Lord, I pray that as we come here right now to become producers of worship, that we're able to focus upon you, lift up songs of praise, and understand who you are, how much you love us, and what you desire for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Good morning. Let's stand and sing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story.
9-11. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments.
Thank you.
Page number 3. Now it's a little bit of change from the bulletin. So if you want to turn to page 3, if you're following in your hymnals.
Worthy of
48, 12 through 14. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers, consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever.
Amen. Great job. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for today. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful time that you've given us already this morning to witness a wonderful baptism, to witness this wonderful time of worship to where we lift up songs of praise to you. Lord, we're so thankful for those wonderful truths that are taught in these hymns. And Lord, we just pray that right now as we think on being stewards, we think on returning back to you what you've so richly blessed us with, Lord. We just pray that all of this can be used to your glory and to your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, good job, dude. All right, our kids will head on off to Children's Church, and we pray for their time and for their leaders and their teachers that are guiding and directing them. Such a professional job of walking. Look how good they're doing. Yes. He's like, I'm not going front. Somebody's got to go first. He's not going first. He's not falling for that again. His sister pushed him first, so. Gracie, you need some more bags. If someone would like to help Gracie carry her bags, she would be more than happy to take that as well. We return back today to where we left off last week. We find ourselves in Matthew chapter 16, making our way slowly but surely through the gospel according to Matthew. Last week, just to kind of give you a little bit of context, is the Pharisees and Sadducees had came at Jesus and attacked him and tried to set him up, tried to play, you know, gig the pastor or gig Jesus and try to get him to make a mistake. And of course, our Lord and Savior is incapable of making a mistake because he's sinless. And so what he did is he explained to them that you will not receive any further signs. I've done every sign I'm going to do. The last sign you're ever going to receive from me is the sign of Jonah when I am buried in the tomb for 3 days and I rise again on resurrection, right, to show that God can overcome death. That's going to be the last sign you're ever going to see. And then he left them off with some very difficult words for us to hear. And sometimes really even for us to process, and he tells them, he said, so he left them and departed. Right? Not only did he physically leave their presence, not only did he say, we're not going to listen to this anymore, but he also spiritually left them and said, you're hard hearts, you're spiritually blind, I've done everything that I can possibly do, and you're unfortunately still choosing the darkness. As Scripture tells us, men and women will love the darkness over the light. The Pharisees and Sadducees are in that context, and Jesus departs from them. Right? And so this is where we pick right back up today in Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12. God's word says this: when the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. And Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, we brought no bread. But Jesus, aware of this, said, oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you again today. Lord, we just ask that you continue to open our eyes to your wonderful grace, to your wonderful mercy, and to your understanding. Lord, we just pray that as we come here right now to take a deep dive into your word, that, Lord, we're able to set aside the distractions of today, set aside the distractions of tomorrow and of the upcoming week, and that we can be present in the moment and we can focus on you. And we pray that the Holy Spirit comes along beside of us and reveals to us things in Scripture that have always existed, but maybe not have been understood by us. And so, Lord, we just pray that we grow into a deeper understanding today of who you are, of what you desire for us, and how you are continuing to lead and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we jump right in there. Verse 5, when the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. This is just a very easy understanding, as this is why the men in your life should not be in charge of your shopping list, right? They couldn't remember to bring bread. Now remember, bread in this time is very important, right? There's not stores all on the side of the road. There's not a McDonald's on every corner, right? Bringing bread was very important, and they had forgotten something very important. They were probably going to have to go to bed that night hungry. No one likes to do that. In verse 6, Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And so Jesus, you know, he does everything perfect, but another example that he shows us here is learning for us is he's creating a teachable moment, right? You guys have probably heard about that. Your kids mess up, your grandkids do something, or maybe you do something, and like, hey, this is a teachable moment. Jesus is the master of finding that. So he tells them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And the disciples, still a little slow here, still not fully up to speed, and they began discussing it among themselves, saying, we brought no bread. But then Jesus, aware of this, said, oh, you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? And so what Jesus is talking about here, when he talks about the leaven, he's talking about the influence that the Sadducees and Pharisees have upon the nation. And he's talking about that they had to be aware of that. And Jesus really gives the disciples here, it's a pretty strong rebuke, right? When he says, when he tells them, oh, you of little faith. Right? How are they not understanding this? Right? How do they not understand that they are so preoccupied with earthly matters that they've lost sight of the spiritual battle that's happening right in front of them? They've become focused on the earthly. Verse 9, do you not yet perceive? We see Jesus' humanity here. He's like, man, how slow are you guys? Right, come on, man, catch up. Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? And then the 7 loaves? And what is he saying there? And it's a very simple point. It's so simple that we need to hear it all the time, and it's simply this. There's two things he's teaching there. The first one is this, is that God takes care of his believers' needs. And one of the things that you have to grow in your sanctification, and you need to grow in your understanding, is you need to grow in your understanding the difference between needs and wants, Right? God clearly says time and time and time again, I will provide for your needs. That's what Jesus is saying here. He goes, how are you guys sitting here arguing about the bread and you're fretting over the bread? You just saw me feed at least 25,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread. And then you saw us go over to the Gentile area, right, over in Tyre and Sidon, and he said, you've seen me feed 20,000 people with a little bit less bread. You just saw me do this. How are you so concerned with something that you know I'm going to provide for you? I love you all. I will never let you sit out here and starve, but yet you guys are so focused here that you're not looking there. The application point is the same problem that we have too. Right? So often what we do is we get so concerned with the earthly. We get so concerned with what are we going to do about this, or what are we going to do about that, or what kind of clothes do I have on. Let me tell you something right now. God does not care the name brand of your clothes. I believe that with all my heart. He does not care about what kind of car you drive. He doesn't care if it's got a fancy symbol on it or if it's like some of ours, it leaves a little oil everywhere it goes. He doesn't care about that. What he cares about is, are you connected to him and you're looking, is your vertical relationship in tune? Because if your vertical relationship between you and God is in good place, you know what naturally falls into order? All of your horizontal relationships. And this is what Jesus is drilling in on them. Matthew, and this is not a new lesson either. Matthew 6, 31 through 33, he says is this. And man, this is some verses that we should all take to heart. Just like all the verses are, but this is very needed nowadays. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. Does that sound familiar in our consumerism world, our materialistic world? This is what everybody is concerned about, right? Billions of dollars are being spent every year to convince you you're not happy with the clothes you have. Right? Now, if you're like me and my wife keeps shrinking mine, I have to keep getting bigger ones. Like, I don't know why they keep getting smaller. But we're not concerned about these clothes. It's not the importance of what's going on. Right? And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Remember, need there, not want. Difference between the two. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What do we seek first? We have to seek God first. And I think one of the struggles that we have in our modern world, and as American Christians, I know this is an issue for us because we love stuff. We are a very materialistic nation, is that quite often we seek stuff first and come to God later. And not to be a shocker this morning, but that's what's known as idolatry. And God does not like that. And we have to fight against that. Luke 12, 7, why even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Now for me, that's easy because it's zero. But for some of you all, it's a lot more. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows, right? And what is Luke saying there is he writes to the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's basically saying God cares way more for you than he does the sparrows or the foxes. But what does he give them? He gives them nests to have their babies. He gives them dens to raise their kits. And he takes care of them. He loves you so much more because you're made in his image. He is going to provide for you even more. Why are you so worried about these things? 1 Peter 5, 7, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. The takeaway is this, is God loves you and God cares for you and he's going to take care of your needs. That does not mean he is going to take care of your wants. That's a very different thing. And I pray that you grow in your understanding and pray about that and think through that. I pray it's something that you teach your kids, the difference between needs and wants. Right? We talk about this with Molly all the time. She goes, oh, I got to have that. I was like, is that a need or is it a want? Well, sometimes begrudgingly, I'm like, well, it's a want. And that's okay to want things. I'm not saying that wanting things are necessarily sinful. But when the want becomes more important than our relationship with God, it is a problem. And I think it's something we struggle with. It's what the disciples are struggling with there. Right? And then the second point that I think Jesus is making here to the disciples is that we are to be first and primarily concerned with spiritual matters over earthly affairs. We have to have our priorities in order. A Christian's thoughts has to be dominated by the truth so that we may remain in the truth and not be misled spiritually. You want to know why that so many false churches and so many false prophets, you know why they're so successful? It's because people are only focused on the earthly things and not heavenly things. And then he, or in some places she, gets up there and they teach a doctrine and people are like, oh yeah, Sounds good. We love it. Because you know what? Not a single person is fact-checking them. I was so thankful, and it's going to sound like I'm not, but I'm telling you I was. Wednesday night, I forgot to turn the back screen on, and I was trying to read with my head turned sideways, and I skipped a very important word, and four people were like, whoa, 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 no, you got to say not there. And I looked back, I was like, what did I do? And like, they were absolutely right. Skipping the not completely changes the message. Churches need, pastors need people that are checking them and making sure they're teaching the gospel. You all have a responsibility. If you're coming here just for, we're a little bit shorter on time today, if you're coming here for just 40 minutes of corporate worship, you are going to be very deficient in your understanding of Scripture. This is not sufficient. You have to go to the Word daily. You have to spend time with God daily so that your thoughts are focused on Him and not dominated by the world. You want to know why? I just read an amazing article this week, nothing to do with church initially, but this scientist, he's a behavioral economist, right? Which means he just does research on things. And he proved, and he said, you know, you're going to read this and you're not going to believe it. But he proved that right now, in 2000, the research was in 2023, it's the safest time that's ever existed on the face of the earth to be a human being, right? You have more access to medical care than it's ever existed for humans. You have more access to mental health care. You live in safer houses. You have fire departments. You have police officers. It is the safest time to be a human being. But you know what also? Anxiety is the highest it's ever been recorded right now. And why is that? Like, why are anxieties so high, but yet we live so secure? As someone who is a follower of Christ, it's a heavy consumer of God's word, I'm like, I know the answer to that instantly. It's because people are counting on themselves and not counting on the Lord. It doesn't matter how safe the world is. If we're trusting in God, guess what? He's got you. He loves you. He's going to protect you. And so when we feel these anxieties begin to bubble up in us, and we begin to fear, and we begin to worry, that is a very simple indication in your life that your faith muscles need some more exercising. You are deficient in your faith. And hey, everybody in here today needs to grow in their faith. Everybody in here today needs to grow in trusting the Lord more. Every single person. And so, but we all got to be searching after that, right? And we have to have our minds focused on the Lord, because Matthew tells us in 15:19 that if we don't, this is what happens. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. This is what happens when you're focused on the here and now, because your heart produces these horrible things. But the more that you can focus on the Lord, the more you spend your time in prayer, the more time you spend in His Word, guess what? The more your time and your thoughts will be focused on Him, and you'll be able to see more blessings. You'll be able to see more love. You'll be a more graceful person. You'll be a kinder person. You'll be a more joyful person. We don't need to take a poll. I think we can all agree the world today needs a lot more of that, right? Needs a lot more grace, a lot more forgiveness, a lot more love, but also needs more accountability, right? We put all those things together. This is what staying focused on God will produce in your life. Instead of watering down the gospel, instead of saying, well, you know, we'll take anybody. We don't care what's going on. We don't care how you live. We don't care what you believe. No, that's not what this is teaching, right? Romans 8, 5 through 7, you know Paul's got a lot to say about this as he writes to us. For those who live according to the flesh, look what it says there, set their minds on things of the flesh. My guess is every single one of you have that testimony. At one point, you were living for the flesh, and all you thought about was the flesh. And I can already tell you, it got you in nothing but trouble, right? But those who live according to the Spirit, that's us as Christians, that's what we want to do, live according to the Spirit, set their minds on things of the Spirit, right? It's exactly what Jesus is talking about here. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. What does Paul mean there? He means this, is that if you're living only for worldly things, you are going to die a physical death and a spiritual death, to where you're going to enter into an eternity outside the presence of the Lord. But those of us that are living a spiritual life and are focused on Him, that profess the gospel, that believe that Jesus Christ lived a life that had no sin, that He then went to the cross to pay for our sins, was placed in a tomb, was raised 3 days later, and now sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for us, guess what? You too are going to die a physical death, but you will not die a spiritual death. You will spend eternity in his presence. And that's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And that's how God, that's the most perfect way God has ever cared for you, is that he sent his son Jesus Christ to be the payment for you on the cross. That's the most important thing. Let me give you one more. There are so many. I could just go on and on. Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things of the earth. Now the thing, when we study this, and you, some of you are thinking this right now because I know you guys, is that you're thinking, well, that's really easy to say, Michael, but I live right here. And you're right. You do live right here. And God has given you responsibilities here to be a good citizen, to hold up his values, to be good members of the church, to be good parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles or cousins or whatever he's blessed you with, right? You understand that you're supposed to be, but the reality is you have to understand this. This is all very temporary. Of all the writers of Scripture, I like the way Peter says it the best when he says, we are aliens. We were never designed to live. This was never meant to be permanent. We are aliens on earth. Where we're designed to be is in eternity with God. That's your final destination, and that's how we're supposed to live. We sing that old hymn, turn your eyes upon Jesus, don't worry. Last time I said this, my family about stroked out because they thought I was going to sing, don't worry. I'm going to do a spoken word for you. That's the best I'm going to get. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I think it's so important. The writer of this, now that's not gospel, so don't take that as the gospel, but that's someone writing about the gospel. The things will go strangely dimly. Strangely, right? You know why? Because your flesh wants to focus on the things of the earth and wants to focus on stuff and wants more stuff. And the reality, oh, look at Steve, he's on it. And that's the reality is that, but they're going to grow strangely dim. Things of this earth are going to become less and less important to you as you become more and more focused on God. It's one of the things in my personal sanctification that I have to be careful of is that I continue on this path, but you do still have to stay a little bit rooted in the earth. You still got to be able to talk to somebody and be relatable to people about things that are going on. But the reality is this, is I, and this is no offense to anybody that's in the NFL, I could care less what happens in the NFL. I could care less what happens, sorry Carter, I could care less what happens to the MLB, right? I mean, I will talk about that. Those guys are amazing. They're athletic as all get out, right? But the reality is this, I care a lot more about what Jesus teaches than what the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals says, right? No offense, Courtney, right? It's just the truth. And I pray that you guys see that in your life. And that's not a pat on my back. That's a pat on God's life because, man, I legit used to be able to argue with people for hours about stuff that's completely made up. Star Wars, dude, I can talk to you about hours about Star Wars. You're like, this is the nerdiest guy I know. And then one day, through the Spirit, he taught me, that's all make-believe. It doesn't matter. Maybe you should focus on something that's real. Maybe you should spend more time reading God's Word and less times on internet forums arguing about someone about what spaceship they flew around in. That's not real. This is real. And so I encourage you to think about that. Do an audit of your life. What is distracting you from focusing more on God? And it's going to be a plethora of things. You'll have to answer that for yourself. We move on. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And then they understood, hey, the disciples may not be real quick, but they're getting there. We see them growing. They're continuing to grow, right? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread. Jesus is not talking about bread here. What's he talking about? But the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, you remember leaven is kind of what we would think of as yeast. And so you remember what they would do is they would take a little bit of the dough and they would save it for tomorrow. They would take that little bit of dough, stick it in the old dough into the new dough, and it had yeast in it, and it would cause it to rise, and they would have bread that tastes a lot better than flat bread, right? It would have like sourdough bread is what it looked like. And so quite often in Scripture, leaven is used as influence, right? And if you see the word leaven, you can think the word influence pretty often. And so he's saying, beware of the influence of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And what are the Pharisees and Sadducees doing? Well, the Pharisees are teaching a doctrine of legalism, right? They're hypocrites. They are the hypocrites of Scripture, right? They're teaching a message of, if you look good and if you act good, I'm out if you got to look good, right? If you look good and if you act good and you act like you're better than everyone else, the reality is on the inside, you're just a rotting corpse. Like Jesus says, they are whitewashed tombs. They look good on the outside, but on the inside, they're just rotting corpses. That's the message they were teaching. They were teaching a message of works. If you do enough good things, you will find favor with God, and then God's going to bless you. So that's their influence, a religion of works. And then the Sadducees, you remember, they're the religious liberals of the time. They don't believe in anything spiritual. And basically, all they want to do is they want to use religion to make connections. Right? They just want to hang out. They want to turn the church into a country club. Right? They just want to be able to continue to get wealthier and wealthier as they take advantage of people coming to the temple. That's what they want to do. And Jesus is clearly saying to the disciples, you got to be aware of both of those, because both of those are religions of work. But Christianity is what? A religion of faith. Very important distinction between the two is we have faith and we have works. And that's what he's coming at there, right? Galatians 2:16, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. This is what he's battling. This is what Jesus is saying there. And so we think on that, and I spent some time thinking on that this week, and I was like, we do have that still today. There are still, legalism still continues to be a problem in Christianity today, right? You know, some denominations, you got to dress a certain way, right? You got to wear certain clothes. Some of them, you got to wear certain hairstyles, right? You can only do certain things, right? That's all legalistic thinking, is that if I follow the rules well enough, then I'll get into heaven. I can't speak for you guys, but I can speak for me. Sometimes I'm not very good at following rules, especially rules that I don't think make any sense, right? I'm lucky to find clothes that fit. More than likely, have to wear certain ones, right? And so we're not coming in on that. That's not what Jesus has called us to do. He's not called us to follow the rules, right? The rules that are made by man. He's called us to do what? To be obedient to Scripture. Those are two very different things. But then I got to thinking, well, what are some other leavens that exist in the world today, right? And so I came up with a couple. Well, we won't have time today this morning. We're running out of time, but we'll flesh these out some more tonight. The first one I came to is the one you're probably thinking of, is the prosperity gospel, right? The leaven of greed and worldliness. If God loves you, he's going to make you rich. If God loves you so much, you're always going to be healthy. If you put $10 in the plate, he'll give you $100 next week. Now, I can tell you this, Melissa and I and our family, we've put, we tithe into the plate. Man, we've never got a check from Jesus that was 10 times more than what we put in. That's never happened, right? Maybe it got lost in the mail. I don't know. But the reality is this, is that prosperity gospel is major leaven that exists in our world today. And my guess is a lot of you guys wouldn't pass the sniff test for you. You're like, what? Hard pass. Like, that doesn't make any sense. But the reality of this is prosperity gospel is spreading across the world. And guess where it started? America. We started the prosperity gospel. You know why? Because as Americans, we like stuff. And we want bigger checking accounts. And we want to turn God into like this glorified ATM that if we name it and claim it, he's going to do it for us. Super dangerous. I listened to a podcast a couple weeks ago about mega churches. And a lot of mega churches are into the prosperity gospel. That they have, some of those churches have over 30,000 people attending every Sunday. Arenas, former basketball arenas, full. You guys know what I'm talking about. My buddy Joel Osteen, he's not my buddy, right? 30,000 people coming to listen and to give more money. And guess what they're doing? They're just making Joel Osteen richer and richer and richer. You guys probably heard the story. They found over $300,000 hidden, $300,000 cash hidden in a wall in their church that they'd forgotten about. Why would a church be hiding $300,000 cash in a church? I don't know. Later, we'll figure that out later someday. But the reality is this, is the leaven of greed is a problem. It's a problem. You have to resist it. You have to fight against it, right? Luke gives us an example here, Luke 12:15. Take care and be on guard against all covetousness, wanting more stuff, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Man, you're talking about a lesson that we as American Christians need to hear. Is that right there? You guys have heard me say this before. I've been a part of a lot of funerals, many for your loved ones. I have yet to see a ball hitch on the back of a hearse. You do not take all this stuff with you. You cannot get so focused on stuff that you forget about who God is. That's the leaven of greed. Let me hit you with another one. The leaven of self. I think this is probably, I don't know if it's bigger. I'd have to do that research on that. But the leaven of self, self-focused spirituality, this is what we call a behavior modification. This is what almost every rehab is based on, is that if you work hard enough and you believe in yourself enough and you look in the mirror and say, I am worthy and I love myself, is that things are going to go better. Well, the reality is this, is your heart is sinful. You are wretched outside of God. Scripture tells us without God, you've done what? Nothing good ever, according to Him. It's really important. Right? And 2 Timothy 4:3 tells us, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But what do they have? Itching ears that will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And this is what's happening in a lot of churches. I think one of the nicest things that someone ever said to me, and I don't think they meant it as a compliment, but I took it as one, is I had done a funeral on a Tuesday, and they had gone to a funeral of a different pastor's on Monday. And they said, man, your message was a lot different than that guy's. And I was like, in what way? He goes, this is so serious, man. Like, I mean, you're just serious about it. And talking about Jesus, he goes, the other guy, he goes, I didn't even recognize who he was talking about. He goes, I know who you were talking about. And I took that as a positive, not because of anything that I've done, but because the Spirit had continued to show me is that, you know what, if you're depending on self, you're going to mess up horribly. And we have to learn to depend on the Lord. We have to learn to call on the Holy Spirit. We have to be honest with one another. We have to speak truth into one another's life. Luke talks about this in 9:23. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, I know some of you all, even our visitors. I know a lot of you guys. Man, you know, you're very qualified and you're good at what you do. But if any of you all are thinking you're going to ever earn your way into heaven, I've got a bad news for you. Imposible. Not going to happen. It's impossible to do that because of your sinfulness, of your wretchedness. You can't do it yourself. You have to cast all your concerns and all your hope and all your faith onto Jesus Christ, who was able to do it perfectly, who showed no sin, who was then able to go to the cross to be the payment for our sin. It's a wonderful bit of truth. Some of you guys, maybe you're into flying. Maybe you know a little bit about piloting. There's two different types of flying. There's VFR and there's IFR. VFR stands for visual flying rules. And that's hopefully how most of you all drive your car. You use your eyes, right? You're like, oh, there's a car coming out there. I'm going to turn the turn signal here. I got to dim my lights, whatever, right? That's visual flying. But then when weather gets bad, you have to use IFR, which is instrument flying regulations, which means you are literally flying like you have a blindfold. You can't see past the screen of your cockpit, but all you have is instruments. And I was reading an article. This pilot was flying into an airport he'd never flown into before. And like this fog, and if you've ever known anybody that flies or you fly, man, weather can just change like that when you're up there in the atmosphere, just so fast on you. And he was flying, it was a beautiful day, and then instantly, just fog bank sets in. Just can't see, literally blind past his propeller. And he's flying, he's got his instruments, but he said he felt like he was crooked. And he said, man, I feel like I'm crooked. Instrument panel tells him he's level, he feels like he's crooked. He goes, I'm going to go with the way I feel. And he's flying crooked, and man, it came within seconds of having a mid-air collision with another plane because he was listening to his heart and not listening to his panel, his instrument panel. I think we have that same issue going on every day in our life. We got one or two things to listen to. You can listen to your heart, which let me just tell you right now, will lead you astray. It's a bad thing. It causes nothing but trouble in you. Or you can listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can guide you and direct you and get you back on the ground safely if we're going to follow this airplane illustration. The reality is this, is we have to choose one or the other. This is what Jesus is saying to the disciples, for them and also for us, is the reality of this, is you have to be aware of what are you listening to. Are you listening to your heart? Are you listening to self? Are you listening to the world? Are you listening to the only thing that's never failed you? Are you listening to the only thing that's never let you down? Are you listening to the only thing that cares and loves for you the way that Christ cares for you? You have one or two choices. I think it's very obvious in Scripture what God desires for you. Let's pray. Dear God, I want to thank you for today. Lord, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lord, we just pray that as we continue to walk this path of sanctification, for those of us that are trusting in you as Lord and Savior, Lord, that we continue to listen to you. We continue to shun the world. We continue to not be distracted by materialism. We just continue to fight the urge for idolatry to creep into our lives, and that we stay focused on you. And Lord, we know that that is difficult to do on our own, but so thankful that you gave us the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us, to keep us straight, to keep us honest, to impress upon us when we need conviction. And Lord, for those of us today that are not trusting in you as their Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that you will continue to begin to pull on their hearts. I pray that you will begin to reveal yourself to them, to show them how beautiful and wonderful you are, the peace that you offer, the love that you offer. And Lord, I pray that they will respond to that love and to that peace that you offer them. And I pray that they too can enter into a relationship with you like we saw that happen today with Hayden. Lord, I pray that they too can enter into that. And they begin the process of growing into a sanctified Christian that looks a lot more like Jesus and a lot less like the world. And so, Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry, Lucy. What God is. And we are not holy, not holy, not holy. But in his infinite love and mercy, as he reached down to us to create a relationship with us, a holy God, a relationship with unholy men and women. It's a beautiful thing. I want to thank Lucy. Lucy was filled in super fast this morning. Raphael is not feeling well, so Lucy, thank you for on the fly, boom, she's in. So thankful for servant attitudes. Also, Hayden's back. Look, she's so sanctified, she's already on the front row today. Boom, it's already happening, right? That's when you know you're sanctified, when you're down on the front row. She's going to be down front with her mom and her dad. And, man, and she would love for you guys to come and congratulate her, not only as a believer in Jesus Christ, but also a member of Dallasburg Baptist Church. So she'll be down front. Your mom and dad will protect you. If it's somebody you don't like, they'll just shut up. I'm just joking, right? They'll protect you. A reminder, you guys will be back tonight, 7 o'clock. We're probably going to continue on talking about these different leavens that exist. 6 o'clock. Thank you, Cretia. 6 o'clock. I said it wrong. So thankful for creation. Oh, so thankful. Back at 6 o'clock to continue our study, and we'll talk some more about that, and looking forward to that. Cindy, I see you back there. Will you close us in prayer, please?